is Pipcast.
Justin Blackett, and welcome to the 7th episode of Pipcast, a podcast for ODPs and the theatre world. This episode, we don't have Craig with us. We've had an incredibly busy couple of weeks, and in the interest of getting this episode out, I've taken this episode forward. So welcome if you're brand new to Pipcast, and of course, if you're regular listeners, welcome back. This episode is a mini episode. It's a preview of an exciting opportunity that Craig and I have been offered. We both have been invited to the AFPP Residential Conference 2017, titled The Changing Face of Theatres, Evolution or Revolution. So we are there as Pipcast hosts. We're going to be recording the next episode live at the AFPP conference. We plan to access as many of the different speakers and sessions throughout the day, and so we will be ideally grabbing some of that great conference atmosphere into our next episode. And to make sure this Pipcast isn't just all about AFPP, we've got a special guest, Chris Poynton, who is the co-founder of the hashtag Hello My Name Is. He has agreed to come on to Pipcast and do an interview with us to talk about what Hello My Name Is all about, a bit of history, and where he's taking it now. And ultimately, it's for you guys to get a bit of an understanding of what the campaign is all about, and a thought-provoking interview for you guys to go back to your places of work and see what you can do to try and promote a better communication tool between you and your patient.
This is Pipcast.
So, AFPP were very kind to invite both Craig and I to the next AFPP residential conference for 2017. The title of the conference is The Changing Face of Theatres, Evolution or Revolution. And the idea is that both Craig and I will record the next Pipcast live from the event. So if you're coming along to the conference, then please do look out for us. We will be wearing our Pipcast t-shirts. We'll be giving out information about the podcast itself. And if you are kind enough to come along and talk to us, then we might have some Pipcast supporter badges. So the idea is that coming along to the conference is very much like the SHU conference. The idea is that both Craig and I will sample the conference itself. We'll grab some audio, get some perspective from the guys that are coming along. And we'll also talk to the exhibitors, because clearly a conference of this size, there's going to be a lot of people there. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk to them, tell us a little bit about their product. For the benefit of you guys, really the listeners that are going to tune in to the future episodes of this conference, the idea is that you can then have a bit of a sample or a bit of a taster of the conference itself. So completely understanding that all of you will be able to attend. The conference itself can be quite expensive. And if you do find the cash or the sponsorship to come along, getting freed up from your clinical duties can be quite difficult. So how is the conference set up? Well, first of all, it's going to be set up in such a way that it starts on Thursday and it ends on Sunday. But Thursday itself on the 10th of August is predominantly built up for the committee. So the specialist interest groups, the AGM itself, the kind of preamble chat about the conference itself is going to be there. And they're predominantly a setup for invite only. So that in itself will be something that both Craig and I won't be attending. We're both travelling up on Thursday after work up to York. So that should be quite a long experience for us. The conference itself then kicks off on Friday. Now, Friday starts off at 7:30 till 9 o'clock, where there is registration. So all the candidates that are fresh coming along for those days will pitch up then. One guesses we'll be picking up the delegate packs and we'll kind of start to get a feel of how the campus itself is going to work for them around the conference. The conference itself is within the University campus of York. We will give you a little bit of a synopsis of what York University is all about when we arrive there. But itself should be quite good fun. So, yeah, so that starts off between 7:30 and 9 o'clock. So we will be around from around then for you guys to come and find us. Talk to us, and ideally the first kind of things we're going to want from people is, well, what are you looking forward to for the conference itself? The conference itself will then kick off at 9 o'clock. This will be welcome introductions, and the key speaker for that will be Adrian Jones, who is the president of AFPP. He's also an orthopaedic surgical care practitioner in Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. He will be talking to us and getting some introductions and obviously opening up the conference. That should be quite motivational, so hopefully we should be able to sit down and listen to him and get excited for the day. The mic will then be handed over to Dawn Stott at 9:10, which will be looking at the aims and objectives. Dawn Stott is the CEO of AFPP. She featured on our last episode, which gave us an introduction to what AFPP is all about, and furthermore, what she does within the organisation. She will then be giving us the aims and objectives, so that will clearly set us up for the day. The main opening session will be titled Build Resilience to Achieve More. Sounds quite a massive conversation to have. A guy called John Hatawa, I'm not quite sure if I've spelt or pronounced his surname correctly, but he is an achievement thinking speaker. So he's going to open the presentation or open the session with Building Resilience to Achieve More, which is a massive theme, which is about evolution and revolution of theatres and the changing face of the operating theatre. So really good opening conversation and an opening session. That'll be at about an hour, and then we'll be peeling off for refreshments and looking around the exhibition, an opportunity for us guys to network with each other, again, come and find us, and also looking the exhibition, and there plan to be quite a lot of stalls, companies and key sponsors for the event that will be there. We'll then all come back at 11:30 for the formal AGM and an engagement session. That in itself will clearly allow the candidates, the guys who are there, to mix with AFPP as a committee, find out where the organisation is moving forward, and clearly looking at future plans for AFPP to engage with everybody a lot more. We'll then move into lunch. And then from lunch, we then move into two streams. The conference itself is jam-packed. There is so much going on in so many different sessions that we are clearly very aware that they've had to split the sessions into two. And so if you are taking part in the conference very early on, you would have been asked if you wanted to take part in Stream 1 or Stream 2. Both Craig and I are going to split ourselves up at that point, and both of us are going to take part in each of those streams throughout the whole of the conference over the 2 days to ensure that we get a really good sample of the sessions. So Stream 1, the first session heading off after lunch, will be Removing Human Error but Not Humans from the Interoperative Process. That's on behalf of Mr. Arthur Stephen, the Divisional Director for Surgery, Anaesthetics and Diagnostics and Pathology at the Royal Derby Hospital. And then the next session after that will be called The Patient's Perspective. It's a Nick Leggett, who is a patient, and Jenny Abraham, who is an advanced PSP laparoscopic nurse at the University Hospital Coventry and Warwickshire. At the same time in Stream 2, the Simulation in Perioperative Practice, Alistair Grithartley, an honorary simulation fellow, will be there from the Scottish Centre of Simulation and Human Factors, as well as another session on surgical instruments, back to basics, and that's going to be the ABHI surgical instrument team. Once those two streams have been completed, they will be finished with refreshments and back to networking and back to the exhibition hall. And then we're all back into the lecture theatre, where the next session was Having the Courage to Recover. Caroline Hutton, Finding Your Feet, will be there. And then we'll have a roundup evaluation and closure. Once the exhibition is finished and once the networking is complete, we're all going to reconvene at around 7 o'clock for a barbecue on the university campus. Again, a really good time to let your hair down and network with some of the people that are there or maybe you've met throughout the day. This is Pit Pass. The next big day is on Saturday, the 12th of August. It all kicks off again at 9 o'clock, where there's going to be a fantastic welcome back by Dawn Stott, who is the AFPP CEO, and then, of course, moving into the first big lecture of the day, and that's going to be called The Operating Theatre, A Hard Place for Soft Skills. That's going to be presented by Professor George Youngsman, CBE. He's a professor of paediatric surgery at Aberdeen University. And then we split back into our streams, which will take up for most of the day. So Stream 1 will be into the lecture theatre, and we've got sessions called Get It Right First Time. That's going to be Adrian Jones, AFPP president. There will be The Changing Face of Infection Prevention by Dr. Andrew Kemp, who is from the Group CEO Q Technologies Group. There's going to be Never Events, a bit of a background on that. That speaker is going to be Fran Watts, a registered nurse and patient safety lead for the NHS Improvement Section. NAT Slips and Lock Slips by William Halfhup Griffiths, consultant underneath this to NHS England. Another session on leadership, the habits of high trust leaders by Marion Robinson, an independent healthcare consultant, King's Fund associate consultant. So really a great day planned for Stream 1. Stream 2 will obviously run at the same time. They've got sessions on human factors, learning following Never Events, Maxine Priest, a theatre matron from the Princess Alexandra Hospital, the next dimension of integrated operating theatre solutions, Branham Stefelix, a difficult name to pronounce, but regional manager for Escope. Another session on the theatre cockpit, lessons from aviation, a guy called John Noland, a consultant orthopaedic surgeon from Norfolk Norwich is coming along to do that session. The next session will be Workforce of the Future by Sheila Morris, Deputy Chief AHP's Officer, who met us at the last SHU conference. So Sheila knows about Pipcast, and she's going to do a talk on the Workforce of the Future, ODPs and AHPs. The last session for Stream 2 will be Learning from Never Events with Simulation. Liam Wilson, Clinical Simulation Lead, Development and Simulation Hub, Northern Lincolnshire and Gall NHS Foundation Trust. So both those streams look incredibly busy. They are going to be very informative. Those two streams will then complete. There'll be more refreshments, more exhibition, more networking, and then we all go back into the lecture theatre for the closing keynote address. And that's titled The Art of Being Brilliant. That sounds fantastic. A guy called Andy Cope, qualified teacher, author and learning junkie, is going to do a session on that. And then there's going to be a roundup, evaluation and closure by Adrian Jones. And that will be the last of the formal sessions for the conference. The kind of meat of the conference is the Friday and Saturday. And after that, it will be the gala dinner at the university campus. Now, both Craig and I won't be staying for the gala dinner. We've both got to head back to our normal commitments after that. So we'll leave the delegates to carry on with that. Sunday is predominantly breakfast and departures, so the delegates will be slowly waking up after a long night at the gala, and then will be clearly departing back to the multitude of homes around the country. All in all, the conference looks pretty cool. It looks really good. I think there's going to be a lovely mix for both me and Craig to cover. Like I said, we'll do our very best to get a good sample of what is going on during the conference. We will then edit it and appropriately deliver it to you in a future Pipcast so you can get a sample of what the conference is all about. We'll try and talk to some of the speakers to try and give a quick chat about what their talk was about, obviously not the entire 1 hour length if it is that case, and get a really good sample of what's going on. And of course you'll be able to contact them straight after the conference and after Pipcast if you've got further questions and details. Please do find us throughout the conference itself if you are going to be there. It will be fantastic to see you, share your thoughts, and to show that you are a true Pipcast fan. Hello, welcome back. So most of our listeners would have heard several times, and if you're brand new to Pipcast, then you probably heard it at the beginning of our podcast, is that both Craig and I use four simple words to introduce ourselves, which is, hello, my name is. And it's a concept that seems to be very much out there in the community of the operating theatres and then within the NHS. But actually, there was a time when actually that wasn't the case. And I've got a very special guest with us today, Chris Poynter, who is the co-founder of the hashtag Hello My Name Is. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hi there. Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
First of all, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us on Pipcast. It's amazing to have someone that, has got such an amazing story to tell our listeners from the Pipcast world. So, Chris, tell me, what is this hashtag Hello My Name Is? Tell me what it's all about.
Yeah, so I mean, firstly, I should start with hello. My name is Chris, and I was fortunate enough to be married to the amazing Dr. Kate Granger, MBE, who, like I say, we were married for 11 years. And the hashtag Hello, My Name Is started 4 years ago now.
Okay.
During a hospital admission that Kate had following on from some minor surgery that she had to have some stents inserted to help with, you know, to help with urine discharge and everything.
Okay.
And throughout the time in hospital, it was becoming more and more apparent, and Kate was getting more and more frustrated with the lack of introductions from various healthcare workers at every level within the hospital. And when somebody did actually introduce themselves, it made such a huge difference. One evening, we were in a hospital side room, and you know, Kate and I were talking about this, and at that point, Kate had quite a large following on Twitter anyway,
okay.
Because she was already sort of inspiring others with her story.
Yeah.
And I said to her, you know, why don't we do something about it? You know, why don't we start some kind of campaign on social media? Why don't we call it, I don't know, hashtag Hello My Name Is?
Okay.
And that's when we were born.
Such a simple idea, isn't it? It's alarming, isn't it, that it's hard to believe, I guess, that you were having such interaction with the NHS and no one was introducing themselves to them.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a variety of reasons that can be attributed to that. I mean, you know, people will say they haven't got the time to introduce themselves, but, you know, how long does it take to say, hi, my name is, or hello, my name is? And people will say that, well, you know my name, it's on my badge, or it's on the door of the GPs. Other people will just think it's not common practice anymore, or wasn't common practice anymore then. But you know, it's something that we learn as children to always say hello and, you know, talk to each other and start that relationship, and it makes such a huge difference.
Goodness me! So Kate was a doctor. What was her speciality?
She was care of the elderly.
Care of the elderly, and she became unwell in herself, and you know, that's a traumatic story in itself. So clearly had lots of exposure to the NHS during her treatment, and so here she was absolutely exasperated with the concept that no one was introducing herself. And so you both had a conversation and thought about bringing a simple concept, which is "Hello, my name is," into the forefront of our world within the NHS and as a healthcare provision. And so how did it build from there?
Yes, yeah, so I suppose then the conversation, it was more of a, you know, Kate, we were having a conversation, but Kate was getting increasingly frustrated, and
yeah.
She was actually, you know, moaning about it. And,
okay.
You know, in my sort of line of work, if people are moaning but not doing something about it, then it's like, either stop moaning or do something.
Yeah. Okay, so we had to do something. So here we are. So, most of our listeners hopefully should be aware of the hashtag. So how do we get to this point from moaning to being what is what I think now an international well-known phrase?
So initially when we started it, you know, we thought it'd be a 1 week, 2 week, maybe a couple of months, and then it would all die down and we didn't think it'd be a common occurrence. But the amount of messages that Kate was getting by social media, the amount of photographs that were being sent by people back in the campaign. Obviously, we came up with, you know, a great logo for the campaign. Kate's brother came up with a great website to support the campaign. And it was just taken on board. It's such a simple concept, which was taken on board by various trusts across the UK, but then also spreading across the world. And you know, we're now operating over 20 countries, and we are in every continent with the exception of Antarctica at the minute.
Wow, that is amazing numbers. Oh my goodness. Wow, so most of the NHS is within the UK have kind of bought into the concept of Hello, My Name Is. And what have you seen used out there as kind of, I guess there's lanyards and there's pin badges.
There's prompts out there for people to use Hello, My Name Is. You know, you go to conferences, people have it on their name badges. You're seeing posters in hospitals, people have cake sales with, and was Kate was a keen baker, that cake sales with the actual Hello, My Name Is buns. But I think the big thing about it is, irrespective of lanyards and name badges and everything else, it's got to be people that are actually wanting to use it and people that are using it and almost role modeling the way. So, you know, it's almost organic with its growth. It's, if one person does it, the next person does it, and it grows in that way. We don't want it to be something where it's a tick box exercise and you have to do it as part of some kind of exam almost. Yeah. It should be that people wanting to do it.
It needs to become second nature, so it becomes a part of their everyday life. I can hear what you're saying there. It's very important. And I'm pretty confident where I go around now that people are promoting the concept, and I think they've kind of layered it into their day-to-day work. But, I mean, it all started with something very simple. And I guess the most alarming thing is it is so simple that you guys had to open our eyes to something we weren't doing very well.
Yeah, and I suppose sometimes the simplest things in life are the things that people take for granted and aren't necessarily those things that happen on a regular basis. But like you mentioned there, you know, change takes time. But
yeah,
once you've got used to operating in a different way, or once you got used to introducing yourself in a different way, then it does become second nature, and it's you notice it more when people don't do it than when they do it.
I can hear what you're saying there, and I can also relate to the brand. Again, you don't want it to just be a brand, you also wanted to make sure that it is second nature. And that, well, what a fantastic story. So I mean, you are now a year down the line when Dr. Kate passed, and you're now championing the brand and the movement. What kind of things are you up to now to reinforce the foundations that everyone uses, the hashtag and the concept of it?
So, like I mentioned before, we do operate in a lot of countries across the world, but I do think that there is still scope for getting that message out firsthand. And it's something that Kate and I, you know, people often say, you know, Kate passed away at the age of 34, which is a young age to die, and yes, it is. However, Kate, we were in the fortunate position that we knew Kate was going to die, so we could talk about things before that happened. So we talked about, what am I going to do after she passed? And one of the things that we both agreed on, and you know, was that I would take the campaign and, you know, make it into an even bigger global phenomenon by taking it on tour. So continuing the UK tour that Kate and I did a couple of years ago, okay, but taking it more global.
Wow. So where are you off to? Where are you taking the kind of global phenomenal that is Hello, My Name Is?
So I actually am taking a sabbatical from work at the end of August.
Okay.
And I start in the middle of September in Australia for 4 weeks.
Wow.
So I'm actually talking at 8 different events across Australia, New Zealand and Tasmania.
Okay.
And really spreading the word out in those countries. I mean, I do know that it's already used over there.
Yeah.
However, this is, you know, to make it even more widespread and for people to hear it, like I said, firsthand.
Kate's story and your story and the way that it is presented is so inspiring that the concept is simple, and I think we can all accept that actually we all need to be better at introducing ourselves, but actually listening to your story and listening to some and looking at some of the resources that are available to really open your eyes to the concept is really, really important. So I think actually having you there in front of people promoting the concept is so important. So well done you.
No, thank you very much.
So you are going off to Australia. Have you got any other countries in mind that you're going to be going to?
So when I return from Australia, I have, you know, my diary up until Christmas is absolutely jam-packed with events, and it's exciting time. Next year we've got Romania, which they use Hello, My Name Is over in Romania. I'm flying out to Canada to talk at a conference over in Canada. And then I'm currently in discussions with, you know, various other countries, including you know, South America, the USA, and then further afield as well. But as you can imagine, it's currently pretty much a one-man band.
Yeah.
And I still work full-time at this moment in time. So trying to organise a global tour along with everything else is quite time-consuming. But once the sabbatical commences, it will be even more focused, along with other things that we're doing to further enhance the campaign, but also keep Kate's name alive.
And I guess the concept, it has become very organic. I mean, people pick it up and run with it and champion it. I guess you have been quite successful in getting quite a quite successful celebrity backing. I mean, who are the names that are kind of really supporting you these days?
Yeah, so I'm, as a lot of people that know me will know, and as Kate would have always said, you know, I always wanted what was best for Kate and also best for the campaign. And I'm not backwards at coming forwards at approaching people or getting in touch with you. So we have people like, you know, Kylie Minogue's endorsed the campaign. You know, David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister at the time, endorsed the campaign.
Yeah.
We've got Michelle Roux Jr., who's one of our very good friends. He actively endorses the campaign. Just recently we've had, you know, Tom Kerridge, you know, the chef, endorse it. We've had Sir Bruce Keir, you know, from the NHS.
Yes.
Bob Geldof, to name but a few. You know, there's many, many high-profile endorsers, but I think, which is great for getting it spread across social media.
Yeah.
But the main premise of the campaign is healthcare.
Yeah.
And the main premise is making sure that patients have a better experience when they're being seen by any healthcare worker, irrespective of title.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess it's empowering people to go back to their places of work and to champion the concept that we use it in everyday language rather than just having it something that is on the social media, but it is something that is inputted into your daily practice. I mean, I guess the biggest people that can influence this is leaders within the NHS. I mean, how could you get them to be on board? Is it just kind of tying in with the social media itself?
I mean, we are quite fortunate that we have, like I said, you know, we have got quite a lot of high-profile endorsers across the NHS. So I know, like, you know, Jeremy Hunt had his photo opportunity, Simon Stevens, like I said, Jane Cummings is a huge advocate for the campaign, who's also the chief nurse. So from that front, you know, they will lead by example. And, you know, I recently wrote a blog on leadership for the NHS, and a lot of the things that I said in that blog ring true irrespective of, like I said, whatever level you are, because everyone in their own right is some kind of leader. They may not think they are, but they actually are, and they can make a difference. But it does help when you have senior leaders backing the campaign.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it starts from the top, but it also starts from the bottom. And it's just it's a multitude. It's an army of supporters that will change practice and will get people to use those four very simple words that will break down so many barriers. I mean, I can see it. And our listeners are predominantly operating theatre-based. They meet patients for a very short amount of time, but we all relate to the concept that because we only meet them for a short amount of time, we've got to get them to trust us so quickly. And actually those four little words suddenly open up the doors to allow the patient to talk to us. And so it's so important.
Yeah, very much so.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for spending your time to talk to us. I mean, if our listeners want to find out more about the campaign, where would they need to find you and what websites and Twitter accounts do you have?
Yeah, there's a couple of places. Well, there's a few places. So the website is hellomyname.org.uk.
Okay.
They can also follow me on Twitter, which is @pointandchris.
Okay.
The other things that I would suggest as well is if you just Google search for Hello My Name Is, or if you go onto YouTube, there's a plethora of videos out there and other events that, you know, people can view. And it all helps to raise the awareness of, you know, of the campaign, and like I said, keep Kate's name alive as well.
So, I mean, is the logo protected, or is it something that we can freely download and integrate to anything we use?
I mean, the actual logo is trademarked now, just for protection from other sources, but it's still free to use in the right way for anyone. So I'm not precious about it being used across healthcare and in the right way, but it we trademarked it just for protection from big corporate businesses.
Yeah, because you've got to be safe these days, haven't you, with the world that we live in. But, I mean, yes. Absolutely. So, I mean, our listeners can download the logo and use it within their literature and with a promo.
Yeah, and that's on the website, so you can go into the resources tab and download it freely.
Fantastic. Well, there we are. Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you, Chris. Well, hopefully my listeners will be in touch and they'll be locally campaigning with their operating theatres to promote the hashtag and the concept of using those four simple words that can make such a difference to the patient. Well, thank you very much, Chris.
No, thank you so much.
This is Kit Fox.
So that was an interview with Chris Poynton, the co-founder of Hashtag Hello My Name Is. That was an amazing interview. It was great to talk to someone that had such a great story to tell and clearly a difficult history. I had a chat after the interview had complete to kind of talk about how he still stays strong after losing his wife and what has clearly been a very difficult time for him. And I think the thing I took away from it is the legacy is his driver. He continues to try and promote the hashtag, and he's some humbled by the fact that we as NHS employees take this campaign and the legacy and to keep Kate alive through the hashtag Hello My Name Is, and that continues to snowball and grow and grow. The purpose of being on Pipcast is to try and heighten our awareness of the campaign and to see if you can just listen to his conversation, listen to his interview and really think, what can I do in my workplace to try and promote and improve the way that I speak to my patients? I'm very aware that most of you might already be doing it, and that is fantastic. For some of you, it might be new to you, especially if you're a student ODP that's now joining the world of operating theatres, and this might be just one of the many things that you're going to take on board in your learning environment. So like Chris said, there'll be ways to contact him through Twitter and through his email address and, of course, through the website, or just Google it. It's well known these days. We will ensure that we include those links in the show notes. So if you click on the show notes, you will be able to follow those links and take you appropriately to the right way to contact him. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Pipcast. It's been a bit weird not having Craig around, but I hope I've managed to steer the ship correctly. It's been hopefully very informative, not all about AFPP, but the chat from Chris was really good. We will now, as you're listening to this on Pipcast Thursday, we'll be driving up to York to then record the future episodes of Pipcast that will include a lot of information from the conference itself. As ever, please do like, share, rate us, and just tell your fellow colleagues about podcasting and Pipcast itself. I will include in the show notes the link that takes you to our posters. Again, if you can download them, print them off, put them up in your coffee room or in areas where you know other staff will see it. Take a picture. If you want to tweet us or Facebook us that picture, that will be great. It will hopefully inspire others to think about where they can put their posters. We're doing amazingly well in growing the people that are listening. But if you can help us a little bit more, that would be fantastic. Please carry on listening. We've got some fantastic episodes coming up in the future. The episode 8 will clearly be an AFPP conference episode, but we've also got some fantastic new episodes coming up that will support new students going into the world of ODPs. And we've got some future speakers that are going to be really appropriate to everyone that listens to us. So I'm on my own. Thank you very much for listening. So that is it. So there we are. Job done. Episode 7 in the bag. I hope you enjoy. This is me saying goodbye.